Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So we continue tonight in a series of parables that Jesus gives us on the kingdom. And 2 weeks ago, we heard about the sowing of the seed and the seed growing and the challenges to the seed growing well, the thorns, the thistles, and the rocks. And last week, we heard the kingdom of God compared to a field with wheat growing, and then the enemy comes and sows weeds in the midst of the wheat. And then tonight we hear about the kingdom of God is like a treasure buried in a field. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price someone's searching for. The kingdom of God is like a net dragging up fish of every kind. And we'll get to those parables in a moment. But I want to back up a little bit and tell a story of a young man that I met. This young man was an exceptional athlete. He was very talented. Not only was he an exceptional athlete, he was also an incredible student. He was at the top of his class, and as well as being, you know, starting football player, starting basketball player, and talented in other sports. And he garnered just about every award that could be given. But, you know, talking to him and speaking to him personally, he said, "I know I'm kind of a little bit of a big fish in a very small pond." And he looked forward to going away to college and going from his small little world to a bigger world. And he went to a college with 30,000 people. And I talked to him and he said, "I didn't know just how big that pond was going to be and how small of a fish I was going to be when I got there." He had a new perspective on himself and on the world, but I think he had a good perspective to start with. And I tell another quick story about another young man. He was a baseball player, and he was all everything. He was all district. He was the best pitcher on his team. He was the best batter on his team. He was probably the best fielder on his team. And as one might expect, he got a good scholarship offer to Mississippi State University, which is a perennial baseball power. It's won national championships. He really thought he was somebody. And he went up there to Mississippi State, and he said his first day at practice, the very first day, he went out there, Mr. Baseball, Mr. Everything, the best baseball player anybody had ever seen in his town. He said, "I'm just not that good." He knew immediately that he had overestimated how good he was. Now, I want you to think about those people and yourself for just a second. And I want you to think about this reality. When you compare yourself to other people, you say, "Well, Father Mike, I don't do that." I say, "Well, I know better." I know you do, okay? So when you compare yourself to other people, who do you compare yourself to? Who do you compare yourself to? Now, sometimes we can compare ourselves, we can look around our little pond, right? We can circumscribe our world in such a way, and we can look around and we can see people who are average or maybe below average as far as we see, and we can compare ourselves to them and come away thinking we must be some kind of genius, or we must be some kind of, better than. But I would encourage you, first of all, certainly, the Bible tells us if we're going to compare ourselves to anybody, to compare ourselves to Jesus. But if we want to compare ourselves to other people, we should compare ourselves to the greatest. If you're an athlete, you compare yourself to the greatest athletes. If you're an intellectual, you want to compare yourself to the great intellectuals and the great statesmen of today and of history. and recognize this calling to something greater. And certainly as a Christian, we want to compare ourselves to the great saints of our church, to the Word of God and the holiness of God. And then we recognize this calling that we have to be taken up. And I want to suggest, and this is kind of getting closer to the point of my homily tonight, that if we want to be wise, we must compare ourselves to the wisdom of God. And before we can reach a new place that requires effort, we have to recognize that we're not already there. Before we can reach a new height, we have to recognize that we're not already at the top. So, coming back to maybe a more specific question, where do you want your greatness to be? As you have a dialogue with God and you think about maybe what you're desiring from God, and I've asked you to consider this question before, what is it that you want from Him? What greatness, what achievement, what superpower do you want from God? And now we dive back into the first reading. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night and asked, "Ask something of me and I will give it to you." And I'm paraphrasing the reading. Solomon answered, "You have made me king, but I am young and I don't know how to act. So give me understanding. Give me wisdom that I can distinguish right from wrong, that I'll know how to act." And God was very pleased with Solomon's wish and happily granted him a wise and understanding heart. Solomon knew that he was not yet the king that he could be and needed to be. Solomon had as his father King David. And he saw King David's rule and he saw King David's achievements and he knew, "I am a mere youth. I don't even know how to be king." And so he threw himself before God in humility and asked that he be lifted up and made a wise leader. Now, each one of us, to be the Christian that God is calling us to, must have wisdom and understanding to be a good priest, to be a good parent, to be a good boss, to be a good employee, to be a good brother, to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be a good sister. We need the wisdom and understanding of God to dwell into our hearts. And before we can reach a new place above where we are that requires some exercise or some effort, we have to recognize that we're not already there, right? And that's what Solomon recognized, that he did not have the wisdom that he needed. Wisdom gives us knowledge of right and wrong, not in opinion, but in fact. Wisdom teaches us truth from error and good from bad, the eternal from the temporary. Wisdom perfects our judgment. It hones our goals. It helps us live our life properly. Being wise is different from knowing a lot of information. Being wise teaches us the way that God wants us to go and live. So I would encourage you today to seek wisdom, to seek an understanding heart, to pray as Solomon prayed. So how is it that we become wise? The first part of that question is you have to want to be wise. You have to desire. The first answer to that question, I should say, is that we have to desire wisdom as Solomon did. To seek and knock and ask from the one who can give. And God is the one who can give wisdom. Now, I turn again briefly to the parables. What were the parables of tonight? The kingdom of God is like a treasure buried in a field. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. Now, whenever I imagine this treasure buried in a field, I imagine it's this time of year. And there's a guy or a gal standing in a field with the sweat dripping down him with a shovel in his hand, and he or she is doing the work to dig that treasure out. Have found that treasure and now is acquiring that treasure, doing that which it takes to gain that treasure for themselves. I don't think it's an accident that Jesus used this image of a treasure buried in a field that takes this effort to get to. You know, it's like we could say to our teacher, right? We could say, "Teacher, I want an A on my paper," right? Yeah, well, that's nice to ask. But God being our teacher, so you say to him, "I want to be wise." He'll give us everything that we need to be wise. But at the same time, he teaches us that we're going to have to dig in that field. We're going to have to work. We're going to have to strive to cooperate with his grace to become wise. So I have that image of the person with a shovel in the field. And what's the next one he gives? The pearl of great price. Now, how many of you all have spent much time shucking oysters, right? You know, and how many of you have poked your hand? I've poked my hand a few times, and I haven't shucked that many oysters. But then you think about those tonging, you know, the work that it takes to find that great pearl of price, that pearl of great price, and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God that God is asking us to seek and to find, that he will show us the way, but we have to be willing to do that work too. To get dirty, to seek, to knock, to ask, to read, to pray, to strive. And the final one is the final parable tonight was the net thrown into the sea, right? The net thrown into the sea, and it's different from the other two because the net thrown into the sea is like the kingdom of God, but it gathers not just good fish, but good fish and bad fish. And the good fish are kept in the kingdom, and the bad fish are thrown away to be burned up. A difficult image. And I think Jesus throws that third one in there to make us understand how important it is to find that treasure, to find that pearl, to help us seek that wisdom and live in the kingdom. Now back to Solomon. And some of you know the story of Solomon, and some of you might not. But who was Solomon again? Solomon was King David's son, made the king at a young age, humbled by his youth and prayed to God for wisdom to be a good king. And God made him a good king. And Solomon's empire spread. He was a great leader. People came from the world around to hear his wisdom, just to hear him speak. He wrote part of the sacred scripture. He had it all. And then God gave him three instructions of things not to do. He said, "Solomon, through one of the prophets, don't multiply your wealth. Don't become too wealthy. Solomon, don't have too big of a military. Don't have too strong of a military force. Solomon, don't multiply your wives. Don't have too many wives," as kings would have been known to do in that day. And what did Solomon do? Solomon had such tax revenue coming in, so much wealth, it describes at one point that he gathered 666 talents of gold. Now, a talent is many pounds, hundreds of pounds of gold in one talent. And he got 666 of them. And it's not an accident that that number 666 only appears in the Bible in two places. One is the mark of the Antichrist, and one is how much gold Solomon was bringing in when he wasn't supposed to. What else did Solomon do? Now, a chariot was like a fighter jet or a tank, and he made thousands of chariots for himself and his army. And well, how many wives did he end up with? 700 wives and 300 concubines. Yeah. So Solomon started out humble and begging God for wisdom. He became incredibly successful, And then he turned his back on God, and the wisdom of God left him. And the kingdom that he built, he destroyed. His sons were corrupt. They fought each other. They started a civil war. The nation of Israel was divided. And so we see Solomon thought he was a big fish, didn't he? He became convinced that he was the big fish and he had it all. And then at the end, when the net was dragged, he was thrown out. He wasn't even in the kingdom anymore himself. So what is it that we're seeking? What is the lesson here for us? We have to dig that treasure. We have to find that pearl of great price. We have to desire wisdom in our hearts. And then we have to live our whole lives humbly clinging to that wisdom. Let us pray today for that wisdom that God can grant and the humility to stay in the kingdom, recognizing that we are who God, we're the fish that God made us to be. And when we compare ourselves to God, we're not very big fish, okay? So we pray for wisdom and to be found in the net of the kingdom as a fish that God keeps.